Every week, the Orange Fizz team breaks down the five most pressing questions about Syracuse athletics.
Holy cow, what a big time defensive play!
No holds barred.
I pity the fool.
It's the Fizz Five.
Five!
Hello and welcome to another edition of Fizz 5. Today is Wednesday, April 3rd, recording this mid-morning. My name is Ethan Frank, joined alongside Liam Griffin for potentially the final time here on Fizz 5. Liam, how are you?
We're getting old, Ethan. We're about to graduate from Syracuse University, so I'm excited to get to do this one more time. We have not been given a small list of topics to talk about, so plenty to discuss.
Yeah, I must say I am very excited for today's show because there is plenty to talk about. So why don't we get right into it off the top.
Number one.
Let's start with the news from Monday. Many may have thought it was an April Fool's joke, but I wouldn't take Malik Brown to be a prankster as he entered the transfer portal. This a bit of a shock after he did tell reporters late in the season that he was coming back next year. I will say my first reaction to the news, I saw it and all I said was, I trust Red Autry. That's how I felt about everything. I trust Adrian Autry. And I think as a Syracuse fan, that's kind of the mindset you need to have, because look at the way college basketball is right now. And yes, would Malik Brown be a really good player for Syracuse if he were to play for the Orange for 4 years? Yes. But this team needed to get older. And Malik Brown would contribute to that. But I think, you know, the issue of Donnie Freeman coming in, who played in the McDonald's All-American game last night, and we can talk about that a little bit. And then what else is going to be added in the portal? And not knowing where Malik wants to play, I think it kind of all spiraled into, what is his role actually going to be next year? Because I don't think he loved playing center. And I'll cite Mike Waters, who yesterday on Brent Axe's podcast said he was told by someone last week that one of the three presumed guys to be coming back, and he took that to be J.J. Starling, Chris Bell, or Malik Brown, was actually 50-50. And it turns out that that guy was Malik. You know who recruited Malik Brown to Syracuse? Jerry McNamara, who is no longer on Syracuse's staff, as we'll talk about him a little bit later, being introduced as Siena's head coach. And I would say, you know, Mike said this too, and I agree with him, that I think Malik could, you know, Malik is going to end up perfectly fine. He'll be at a power conference school. He'll probably be a starter as a junior, and he could probably get some lucrative NIL offers from a school either still in the ACC or in the SEC or in the Big 10 or the Big 12. And I'm sure he'll land on his feet.
Yeah, so my initial reaction when I saw that notification on Monday was, no, it's not an April Fool's joke. It was completely, I was shocked, Ethan, because like you mentioned, we had heard reports coming in that Brown was likely going to come back, and I remember him being such a key piece to the Orange this season, particularly after Naheem McLeod went down. He was so vital, but then when you take a step back and start to think about it, you think to yourself, okay, is there really a place where Malik Brown fits next year? He has openly expressed his desire to not play center. If you're going to start in the starting lineup, you're going to have to play center because Donnie Freeman is all but a lock to start at the power forward. So you're either playing a position you don't want to play, or you're going to have to come off the bench. And there's really no positive for Brown staying at Syracuse. And the fan in me says he can't really blame him. He's doing what's best for his future in terms of where he'll end up. I think you nailed it. He will get a Power 5 offer from a school that will compete for the NCAA tournament next year. I mean, we saw it on the court this year. His perimeter game is still a work in progress, but his defense is so valuable.
Yeah, and I mean, I was leading the charge of I want Malik Brown to shoot more threes because I think if he's confident, he can be a mid-30s percent three-point shooter and stretch the floor a little bit. You know, the analytics Twitter college basketball account, Evan, I don't even know how to say his last name.
I believe I know what account you're talking about, though.
Mayakawa, is that correct? Something along those lines. He does a lot of analytics. He put transfer portal rankings up yesterday morning. Malik Brown was eighth. So he was eighth, and he was one of the better defenders in the portal.
Just out of interest, did you see where Justin Taylor and Kwadwo Copeland landed on that
No,
list?
he only posted a screenshot of the top 25, and Malik Brown was eighth, and coincidentally, Eddie Lampkin, who we're going to be talking about in a little bit, was 25th. So that's kind of the trade Syracuse is making at the moment, 17 spots. But I mean, with Malik, yeah, like I don't blame him. I mean, it's hard to be surprised by anything anymore. I guess I would be, at this point, I would be pretty surprised if JJ Starling and Chris Bell also left, as I would say you could put their names in pen to be in the starting lineup next year and be significant contributors to Syracuse's offense, and the team as a whole. And I would also be pretty stunned if Judah Mintz was on the team next year, whether it's he's going to try to play basketball professionally or he'll get a lucrative NIL offer from a big name school that is not Georgetown. He put those rumors to bed on Twitter. But I think besides those, there's nothing that would really surprise me at this point, but it's kind of hard to be shocked. Because you know anything can happen this day and age when money's involved and you have the opportunity to go do whatever you want. It's just the opportunities afforded to you.
I've got a few notes on what you just said. First of all, I don't know, do you remember JJ Starling's cryptic Instagram post last week with a photo from our good friend Braden Reed that
I
said
do.
it was a good ride? That was definitely cryptic. I don't know how much you can take from it, but before the season, like right around when the season ended, the guys I said I believed were without a doubt coming back next year were Bell, Starling, Copeland, and Brown. I've only shot two of four on that. Not a very good percentage. But the thing with Judah, Ethan, is that can he find a better ground than Syracuse? Because truthfully, I think he took a step back this year.
I
He
mean,
was.
it's hard to say he took a step back when he averaged what four more points, and I think his assist numbers went up too.
Okay, but he didn't grow where we needed him to grow, right? Yes, he got better at drawing to the driving contact at the hoop, but it wasn't where we needed to see growth. I think he took a step back in finishing through contact. We didn't see the growth in his jump shot that really held him out of the NBA at this time a year ago. I certainly don't think he's ready to go pro. And what other high major basketball programs with the name brand of Syracuse are going to give Mintz the opportunity to be in a starring role right out of the gate?
I'm sure plenty of schools would love to add 18, nine, nearly 19 points a game to their team. I mean, so Judah Mintz this year, his averages, he played about the same minutes per game, around 33, 34. He took a half more shot and shot 0.5% less from the field. He took a half more three-pointer and shot 2% less from behind the three-point line. He took 2.5 more free throws a game and was a percentage and a half better. He upped his rebounds by one. His assist numbers were about the same. His steals were about the same. He had an extra half turnover per game. So he was turned the ball over three times per game, and he averaged 2.5 more points per game.
All right,
And that was pretty much primarily from getting to the free throw line.
so in short, not good enough to play in the NBA, or not the growth needed to get to the NBA.
Probably, but he could still be a really good college player.
I agree.
I just don't know if that will be at Syracuse. And the tea leaves that I'm reading are Judah Mintz and Kwadwo Copeland are very good friends.
Yes, they
And
are.
did you see Kwadwo Copeland's, I believe it was an Instagram story that was sent to me, was after Malik entered the portal, Kwadwo posted something from Syracuse, their official Instagram, and said, "Where are we going?" and tagged Malik and Benny.
Oh gosh.
So, and Judah and Kwadwo are roommates, very good friends.
They are very
And
close,
I
yeah.
said this when Kwadwo entered the portal, it was like, I think there was a clash of ideologies there between him and Adrian Autry, where Kwadwo wants to play this free-flowing, style of basketball and not have any set agenda. And Autry wants it to be a little bit more regimented, a little bit more, structured. And Kwadwo is just trying to do his thing. And I think they probably butted heads a little bit. And maturity was the subject of many, many, written pieces, many audio stories this year for Syracuse. And I think that contributed to that as well.
So, like, before we move on, I'll ask you, say Mintz does transfer. You have him, Taylor, Brown, and Copeland. In a hypothetical, say one of them comes back to the Dome next year. Do any of them get booed like Gerard did?
I think anyone who leaves Syracuse and comes back is going to get booed. No. So yes, I think they would all get booed because I think they'll boo anyone who leaves.
Fair
I
enough.
that's kind of a cop out answer, but I think that's just how it is.
No, I don't think it's a cop-out answer because
I mean, maybe not Malik, but I don't know, because Malik's just Malik, but
also I could see a world in where Copeland doesn't get booed, but I think Taylor would get torn to shreds. Very nice guy, but Otto's army did not like him this year.
That's true. So we'll see. We could talk more about the rest of the roster coming up in a little bit, but let's move on to a big addition Syracuse made in the portal on Tuesday.
Number two.
Eddie Lampkin Jr., center from Colorado, 6'11", 275. I'm seeing 265,
65.
275. I'm seeing mixed reports about how big Eddie Lampkin is. He's big. That's what matters.
Yes.
Syracuse adds a center, averaged 10.5 points, 7 rebounds, shot 58% from the field as a senior at Colorado last year. Started his career at TCU, redshirted his freshman year, then started his sophomore and junior years. Averaged between 6 and 7 points a game those 2 years at TCU. Transferred to Colorado last year, had some terrific games in the tournament. Started 36 out of 37 games, best year that he's had. And now with a fifth year of eligibility, he will use that at Syracuse. And the Orange have an established offensive threat down low, Liam.
Yeah, first of all, I don't think we mentioned McLeod at all in the last topic. I don't think his future has been discussed. I think that's an indication of more so the impact he had when he did play this year as opposed to anything else. But the timing of this all, Ethan, was very interesting. Unless I'm mistaken, Eddie Lampkin posted an Instagram story on Monday that he was on Syracuse's campus, either not long before or after that. I'm not 100% sure on the timeline. We get the news that Malik Brown entered the portal. And then on Tuesday night, Lampkin commits to Syracuse. Coincidence? Hard to think it isn't.
Yeah, it's a Syracuse has to start adding players. I mean,
Oh,
what they've
absolutely.
lost, right? They've lost. So it was Taylor, Copeland, Carey, and now Brown. So they lost four
And
players. I'm
Benny Williams, if you count
right.
that.
And Benny is five. So they've lost five players to the portal. They got to start adding guys. And, I referenced Mike Waters earlier. He said that it's probably likely they add players before they add an assistant coach to fill Jerry McNamara's spot. Which I would say is probably the correct decision considering how fluid the portal is, and that it's not going to be open forever. So you look at Lampkin. I think there are some concerns defensively. I think there, especially in pick and roll defense, that's not his specialty, but he's a guy you can throw the ball to in the post. He can put the ball on the floor. He can make some moves. He can find shooters on the outside. And I think the person this helps most is Chris Bell, because if you're Chris Bell, last year, nobody's thrown an entry pass to the post and you're relocating. And he Lampkin is someone that can, if he's posting up, Chris Bell can go from the top of the key and flash to the corner. He can go the weak side. And Lampkin can throw a cross court pass. This helps him a lot with his relocation ability to catch and shoot. And it spaces the floor a lot more. He's not a shooter. I don't think he's a great defender, as I mentioned, but this provides Syracuse with some meat, someone who can rebound. You mentioned Nyheim McLeod. This probably makes him the backup center at this point, which is probably a better role for him. I don't think Lampkin's going to be playing 40 minutes a game. I mean, if Lampkin's playing 30 minutes and McLeod's playing 10, I think people will be happy with that because Nyheim just offers a different element inside.
Yeah, and once Brown got hurt, the lack of size on this roster really killed Syracuse. You look at the Wake Forest game as an example. The Demon Deacons had two guys well over 6'9" that absolutely torched Syracuse in Andrew Carr and Efton Reed. Bring in a guy like Lampkin, the obvious player comp, or at least the player comp we saw when hypothesizing potential March Madness matchups, is a newly named American hero, DJ Burns, who has the NC State Wolfpack in the Final Four. Burns listed at 6'9", 275 on ESPN. Lampkin 6'11", 265, and his numbers aren't nearly as high as those as Burns, but what has made Burns so elite this year, and in particular ever since the NCAA tournament, his footwork is next level. He's built like an offensive lineman, but he has the footwork of a linebacker. That's what you're
A linebacker. How about a wide receiver?
Wide receiver's even better. That's what the best case scenario is for Eddie Lampkin. I'm not saying that he needs to put America and Syracuse on his back and get the Orange to the Final Four, but if you can just have more versatility down low, it makes your team so much tougher to guard.
Yeah, and if you're Syracuse at the moment, we'll talk about what else they need to do, but like I think this solidifies your front court.
This was the big need they needed to add.
They need, I mean, I think there are still more, or I think there are still important needs.
I agree.
But like, if you look at your front court now, I think it's pretty solidified. Donnie will start at the four. And he'll be in the starting lineup. You start him next to Lampkin. Lampkin's not coming here to come off the bench. And then you have Naheem in a backup role. And then, you know, after redshirting this year, maybe William Patterson is ready to contribute. And then I think, you know, you think about that, William Patterson or Lampkin is a 1 year player. This is it. He's coming here to play for 1 year. And then you're hoping that William Patterson, by the time he's in his third season of college basketball, his body has built up enough, his skills have built up enough that he's ready to contribute in a meaningful way. I mean, there's a reason he was recruited by Adrian Autry and Alan Griffin. It's because they think he has potential. I mean, he's 7'2" for crying out loud. Like, he's a big kid. If he can build up his body and build up his skill set, then there's no reason he can't learn from Eddie Lampkin under this 1 year and potentially play some minutes. You know, if Naheem has injury problems again, then William Patterson might be stepping up in a backup center role because Eddie Lampkin averaged 28 minutes a game this year. So you're going to need someone to play behind him. I don't think they'll ask Donnie to play the five a whole lot because we just saw what happened when Malik had to play the five, and Donnie is bigger than him. But I don't think it's ideal when you're in the ACC with a bunch of big guys. I mean, DJ Burns won't be back at NC State, and neither will Armando Bacot at North Carolina. But you might have an Efton Reed at Wake Forest. You'll have Cooper Flagg, the number one recruit in the country, at Duke. I mean, there are programs around the conference that are going to have big guys. You got the what do you have? You got the Diaz Graham twins at Pittsburgh. Those obviously aren't the biggest guys in the world, but those are guys you have. You got Ian Shefflin at Clemson. Like there are bigs around the conference. You need players with size and weight to throw themselves around. So,
and there's still a world in which PJ Hall comes back for Clemson too.
Exactly. So we'll see what happens, but I do think Lampkin is a huge addition and he can really open things up for Syracuse's offense. Obviously a little bit of concern defensively, and Syracuse really waned defensively the second half of the season.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll see what he can provide offensively. Any final thoughts on Syracuse's first portal ad?
It's the first piece of the puzzle, but the puzzle is not even close to complete. Great signing. It's the meme of Kylo Ren. More, 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 more.
That's a good way. That's a good way.
Had to get in a Star Wars reference before my Fizz Five career ended.
Let's get it. That's a good way of putting it. So let's move on to our topic number three.
Number three,
Jerry McNamara. Mentioned his name earlier. He was introduced as the 19th head coach in Siena basketball history on Tuesday. And let me just say, I am officially a Siena basketball fan. After watching parts of his press conference, after reading Donna DeTota's wonderful story on Syracuse.com, after watching his 4.5-minute interview, talking about what he wants to do with the program. I mean, I'm a Syracuse fan through and through. I've always needed a mid-major team. Siena, congratulations. You are now my favorite mid-major college basketball program because I love Jerry McNamara.
Yeah, I watched parts of his presser yesterday, and it further solidified what I always felt I knew, is that I was always going to root for Jerry McNamara no matter where he ended up. And I mean, yeah, you mentioned it. Now we have a mid-major team to root for in the Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference, the Siena Saints, outside of Albany, New York. And the question with GMAC was always when, after Autry got the head coaching job over him, you had an inkling that he wasn't going to stick around for a very long time. And he's just so, so easy to root for. You can't help but feel good for him. He gave his all to the program for 19 different seasons. And if you're an Orange fan, you should, unless Siena comes to the Dome next year, which, to be honest, I'm not ruling out. If you are an Orange fan, you should be pulling for the Saints as well.
Yes, right. So here's how I look at it. If you're Jerry McNamara, you've wanted to be a head coach your whole life. Like, you want to be a head coach. Obviously, you want to be the head coach at Syracuse. When Adrian Autry was selected for the Syracuse job, Adrian Autry's what? He's 10-ish years older than Jerry McNamara. Jerry McNamara just turned 40. Adrian Autry, I think, is in his early 50s. So if you're Jerry McNamara and you want to one day be the Syracuse head coach, which I'm sure is a goal for him.
Adrian Autry is 52, by the way.
Okay, so he's 12 years older than Jerry McNamara. If you're Jerry McNamara and you want to be the Syracuse coach one day, and they just named Adrian Autry the head coach, you can't be, you'll never become the head coach at Syracuse unless Adrian Autry coaches a successful 20 years and then hands off the program to you at age 60. And at that point, like, you can't be an assistant forever. And that's kind of an unlikely scenario. But so the only way you would ever become, and if Adrian Autry, you know, doesn't have the success that maybe he's destined to have, you're not going to be promoted after you were part of a failed coaching staff. So you know, the only way is if you go out, prove yourself at another program, and then potentially come back later on. And I think this is a perfect situation for Jerry McNamara. I believe he said that there were a couple times where he was being talking to Sienna about the job in previous years. And this was finally the time where it worked out. It's a perfect situation. And I mean, the guy's a win. He just wants to win. He's learned so much, but he needed to get other experiences. That's why Adrian Autry was the choice last year to replace Jim Boeheim, because he had other coaching experiences before he came to Syracuse. He was the elder, you know, coach on the bench, and he was the choice. Now Jerry McNamara gets to prove it. He's a terrific player developer. He's a good recruiter. And I think he can get guys to buy in what is a winnable league in the Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference. Is that correct?
Yeah, Sienna was one global pandemic away from making the NCAA tournament a few years ago. They were the runaway favorites to win the MAC in the 2020 season. We all know how that ended up. But I think the question now is Sienna truly a stepping stone? Like, if he is successful over let's say the next 3 years, what's the next step for him? Because I think it'll be hard to move straight up to a high major out of the gate, but do you move up to an A-10 school or an American school before you find yourself ready to take on a high major job? And also,
well,
Jerry McNamara also alluded to the fact that Coach Autry is one of his best friends, so very clearly no bad blood in the decision to hire Autry a year ago, but it was time for him to move on. And
yeah.
You can't not root for him.
It was very nice of him to stay on for a year. And so we'll see. I mean, I don't know. It's unreasonable if he has a lot of success at Siena that he can't move to a high major program. What, Shaheen Holloway went from St. Peter's to Seton Hall. I mean, I guess FAU is a little bit of a better program, but Dusty May just went from FAU to Michigan. What, College of Charleston? Pat Kelsey goes from College of Charleston to Louisville.
Yeah.
College of Charleston, probably a better program than Siena, but
College of Charleston, probably a better program than Louisville nowadays.
but I mean, that's not a crazy jump. Like crazy to think, like, could Jerry McNamara go from Siena if he has success to like a school, like a, I don't know, what would be an example?
DePaul.
Sure. Well, they just hired Chris Holtman, but like, right. Like a lower school. I mean, I would imagine Jerry McNamara would be the coach of a Northeast school.
I would have a hard time thinking he'd leave.
I mean, the first school that really did like come to mind was like your Providence Friars, Liam.
Kim English not going anywhere.
Well,
Kim
yeah.
English not going anywhere.
Well, if Kim English were to fail and Jerry McNamara was successful at Siena, I think that could be a logic. Like, it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, Albany is right in between Syracuse and Providence.
Right. So, like, I think, you know, these are all like hypotheticals, but I do think, you know, you bring up the A-10, I think, is an interesting comparison. Cause like you think of Dan Hurley going from Rhode Island to UConn. And that's, you know, a different kind of jump, but like Jerry McNamara,
Shaka Smart, VCU to Texas too.
Exactly. And then to Marquette. So like it's possible. But there are going to be steps along the journey and we're just, you know, prognosticating when we have completely no basis to, so, you know, we're happy for Jerry McNamara. Every Syracuse fan should be happy for Jerry McNamara. And I will be following the Siena Saints this upcoming season because
I
love Jerry McNamara.
I need to give @SaintsMubaba a follow on Twitter.
I might need some Saints men's basketball merch. We'll see if that can happen. All right. So enough about non-Syracuse program. Let's move on to our next topic.
Number four.
All right, number four. Let's go back to the portal, Liam. What else does Syracuse need to add in the portal is the question we're going to try and answer here. I was texting with a friend yesterday, Fizz alum Matt Bonaparte, another diehard Syracuse fan, who we were talking about, well, one, because the McDonald's All-American game last night, Donnie Freeman was playing. I watched him hit a buzzer beater three at the end of the third quarter, and I got very excited. But you look at what next year's starting lineup could be. And after Malik, and you get the commitment of Lampkin, like, I'm kind of buying into a starting five of JJ, and then either Chance Westry or a transfer point guard slash combo guard, Chris Bell, Donnie Freeman, and Eddie Lampkin. I'm kind of in on that starting five, but I definitely do think you need to add another guard who can handle the ball, because I don't think you want JJ Starling being a full-time point guard. Chance Westry, who I am really high on. He's got a lot of potential from what I've watched. He's a really good facilitator. He's got great size at 6'5", 6'6", can get in the paint, can find his teammates. It's just about, can he stay on the floor? And how does he look after, you know, not playing really for 2 years at this point, and not at all this first season at Syracuse? You definitely need another guard who can handle the ball, and I think you probably need another shooter to come off the bench alongside Elijah Moore, who can play on the wing and spell Chris Bell if he needs to. You know, preferably someone with size, because, you know, Bell and Freeman are kind of your only players in the 6'7 to 6'9 range. So if you can get, there's so many players in the portal. If you can find someone who's 6'7 who can shoot, that can come off the bench, that would be a huge bonus. But I do think you need another. I think your front court is pretty much solidified now that you have Lampkin and you have your two backup centers in McLeod and Patterson. But I think in the portal, you need guard that can handle the ball, and you need another shooter.
Yeah, so it's actually really funny when you brought that up, because when I was formulating who I think Syracuse needs to bring in the portal, Chance Westry didn't even factor into that. And even now that he does, I still think they need another guard, assuming that Judah leaves, which is, I'm not as locked in on as you might be, but is still very much a possibility. So assuming Judah leaves, I think you need another guard, because you've already lost Copeland. Losing Mintz would be a big one. Again, you don't want Starling to play the one. He really found his own as the two guard this season. And as for Chance Westry, like, talented as he may be, big as he may be, still very unproven. He hasn't played a full season of basketball since 2021, 22. So it's been a while, because he was injury riddled throughout his 1 year at Auburn, didn't play at all this year for Syracuse. So it's been 3 years since he played a full season of basketball. And then, like you mentioned, Ethan, you want another wing as well. I know Copeland plays as a guard, but he does kind of have the size of a wing, as does Justin Taylor. They are both wings. They both play like guards, but they have the bodies of a wing build. You need a true wing to come in to give Chris Bell a blow when he needs it, someone that can shoot off the bench. Those are the two big things. Now that you have Lampkin in, you want another guard, assuming Judah leaves. If Judah stays, I wouldn't say no to another guard coming in, just to provide a little bit of extra insurance in the event things go south injury-wise. But another wing to shoot off the bench is my big thing.
Yeah, and I mean, you still have Kyle Cuff, who is a good defender for his size at 6'2", and can kind of shoot the ball. He's a slasher, like, can cut, get out in transition, but like, he's not offering you much.
Kyle Cuff can score at all three levels.
He's not – three levels, I think, is strong. I would, you know, he's not a playmaker. He's not a facilitator. He needs someone to get him the basketball, and catch and shoot, or off a cut to the basket. He's not really putting the ball on the floor. I mean, he's a fourth guard. That's kind of what he is. He's a specialty player at this point.
He played his role well this year, but you can't bank on him for 10 points on any given night.
Exactly. You know, maybe there's one game where he, you know, shoots the lights out and he's contributing. And, you know, he was given the assignment defensively multiple times towards the end of games when Syracuse needed, I think the word is like a junkyard, like just get in your, like get under someone. And even if he's given up some height, he does a really good job of staying in front of people. But yeah, I think you definitely need another guard who can handle the ball, because I would be surprised if Judah stays. So you need someone who can facilitate offense, because Westry is unknown. But I think we can't forget about the impact that he will have on this team next year, and that he was a four-star top, I think 60. I can look it up, but he was a highly touted recruit. I mean, there's a reason that Auburn recruited him. Right. He's 6'6". He was the 44th overall player, according to 24/7 Sports, in the class of 2022. 39th on the composite. So top 40 player here we're talking about.
Yeah.
So he's going to have an impact.
Syracuse recruited him for a reason. Ultimately went to Auburn. Had flashes there, but wasn't great. So, but he's still unproven, Ethan.
It's interesting. He's listed as recruited by Jerry McNamara.
That is also very interesting. So I'm not saying he's going to enter the portal, but
that would be pretty surprising.
Cast a little doubt, but I would still be pretty surprised. But then again, I thought there was no chance Brown and Copeland went in. And right. That's this day and age of college basketball. Who thought Kyle McCord would end up with Syracuse football? Who knows what kind of big name could ultimately end up with Adrian Autry's program? Granted, that's probably not going to happen on the degree of a Kyle McCord, but anything and anything can happen these days, Ethan.
Exactly. So we'll see what happens with Syracuse in the transfer portal, and I'm sure there'll be more additions coming up in the next few weeks. And the interesting thing is, until Eddie Lampkin said he was visiting, we had no idea that, like, you see all these posts where it's like, oh, Syracuse has expressed interest in this person. We have no idea who actually are the targets here until they're like, oh, this person's visiting. Oh, then this person's committing. Like, it's very fluid. This process, but I trust in the Syracuse coaching staff, and I think they're going to keep trying to get older, because that is, you know, where college basketball is successful right now. Look at Purdue. Zach Edey's a senior. Look at UConn. There's a lot of experienced guys on top of some star freshmen.
Carolina, Baycott and Davis.
Right. Look at Alabama. Mark Sears is a senior, I believe.
DJ Burns.
DJ Burns. Casey Morsell's a fifth year player. DJ Horn has been in college for a while. It's like a lot of experience. All right. Well, with that, let's go to our final topic. I'm really excited about this one.
Number five.
So speaking of excitement, Liam, I wanted to pose you a question. What are you more excited for next season at this point in time on April 3rd, Syracuse football or Syracuse basketball?
Well, to add context, Ethan, you and I will both be alumni of the university, and who knows where we'll both end up working, but I will certainly be watching both programs from afar. Now, in terms of which ones I'll be following more closely, I'll go on the record and say I've always been more of a college hoops guy than a college football guy. But considering all the hype around the program, I'm more excited for Syracuse football, not because I think they're going to be more successful, but because of the buildup, right? There's been so much talk, so much chatter about Fran Brown and his illustrious recruiting class. Now go on the field and prove it. That alone has me more excited than anything to finally get the answer to the question you and I have been wondering really since his opening press conference, which I remember watching very closely to you in the NCC newsroom. Is this, can this guy, this guy is talking the talk. Now, can he actually walk the walk? That's the big question surrounding Syracuse football. And for that reason alone, that is a bigger question to me than any I have with the men's program. So for that reason alone, I'm more excited for football.
I think that's a good point. I am fascinated if what the coaching is going to be like, the on-field decision-making is going to look like. It seems like Fran Brown is working positionally with the defensive backs, which is not a surprise in spring practice. But like, what is the game management like? Like, who is telling him, oh, call a timeout here. Oh, challenge this here. Like, who is giving him these decisions and whatnot? Like, it is absolutely fascinating. I mean, like you, I've always been a basketball person, and my answer is basketball because of Donnie Freeman. Like, I am so excited to see what this guy can do. I mean, Adrian Autry talked about a few months ago, we could use him right now. in regards to Syracuse's lack of size when he was playing at the Hoop Hall event in Springfield. He's a McDonald's All-American, first McDonald's All-American in nearly a decade for Syracuse since Malachi Richardson in 2015. It's like, I mean, I am just so excited for a player of this caliber, and you don't want to like overhype him up because people did that with Benny, and Benny was not even close to as high a rated recruit as Donnie is. And yet people did this with Benny and like tried to make him a five-star. No, he was a four-star. Okay. He was not where Donnie is. Donnie's not even a consensus five-star, I don't think. But he is on a couple of different sites. He is, I usually like to go with 24/7 Sports. Their rankings have him 23rd nationally as a four-star, and then the composite has him 26th, but as a five-star. So it's like, I mean, you look at this guy's offer sheet. It's Syracuse, Alabama, which he visited, Texas, which he visited, Iowa, which he visited. Like, so many big-name schools on this list, and yet Syracuse wins out for him. I am so excited to see what he does. I think he'll have a very, very prominent role within the team. And I think it's going to be really, really exciting next year. But I don't want to say I'm like, I'm preying on the downfall of the football team. But like, I'm dubious. No, dubious.
I get it.
Watching Kyle McCord will be very cool. I'm excited about that.
A big reason why I'm apprehensive about Bo, just to throw it out there. And the excitement is still there, but I am very apprehensive to see what things look like in the new ACC. The football team hosts Stanford and pays a visit to Cal. The men's basketball team travels to all three of SMU, Stanford, and Cal. What on earth is that going to look like? So that has me a little worried, not just for the Orange, but really all 15 of the current ACC schools.
Yeah.
And what the heck is going to happen with Clemson and FSU as well?
We're in a new age of college sports, Liam. This might be our longest Fizz 5 episode to date.
Yeah,
I mean, and fitting that is our final one. It has been an absolute blast getting to talk Syracuse with you for what, the better part of 2 years now.
Yep.
Been doing this every few weeks. It's been a joy. Thank you so much to everyone for listening to Fizz 5. Make sure you're checking out theorangefizz.com for our weekly articles and, of course, weekly podcasts here on Fizz 5 as well. No more games to cover. That'll be back in September when we're back covering the football team. We got new additions to the staff coming over the next month or so, and us seniors will be departing the Fizz, which has meant so much to us. So thank you so much for listening. We'll see what Syracuse continues to do in the portal and, of course, some spring football practice updates as well. So that will do it for us. Thanks so much for listening. And as always, go Orange.
And that's your Fizz 5. Listen next week. Subscribe, rate, and review. This has been an Orange Fizz production.